The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This last week or so has been filled with professors teaching me things, and it occurs that to me that they are only teaching me things that other people have taught them. This is the way of the faith, that it is passed down from generation to generation. It is indeed passed by the power of the Holy Spirit, but it's just that the Holy Spirit, more often than not, uses people to do it. Last Tuesday, I watched a video, a three-hour lecture that Dr. Driggers, who's a professor at our seminary in South Carolina, he was giving a lecture on Advent, and in it, he said that he has come to understand this wait for Christ's return as diligent readiness. That's his phrase. And he said the waiting, it doesn't even feel like waiting. Diligent readiness means loving Jesus so much in the present, right here, right now, that you are not so concerned about the second coming. You're concerned with living out Christ's command of love of neighbor, and when he returns, fantastic. The love of neighbor will be easier and automatic, even if all of our sins have been removed. All the things that keep us from loving our neighbors purely and easily and readily, all of those things will be gone. And then, as I listened this week, I also listened to a podcast from some professors at Luther Seminary about Advent and the texts for today and the idea of Christ's return. And Dr. Rolf Jacobson said that one of his professors long ago said that Advent is about the history, the mystery, and the majesty of Jesus. That all three of those things play a part during Advent. That is, it is about the history of Jesus. We do place Jesus in a certain time and place. It's about the fact that he was born, that he was the Messiah from the lineage of David, for whom Israel had waited, and about whom the prophets had spoken. In Advent, we talk about Jesus like he hasn't yet been born, and also we talk about the way that it happened, with Elizabeth and Zechariah and Mary and Joseph and the song Mary sings when she learns that she will indeed bear the Son of God into the world. So Advent is about placing Jesus and his birth in this historical context. And it's about the mystery of Jesus, the way that Jesus is God in skin. We have no way to say it. We talk about the incarnation every year. I wonder if enfleshment is a word, and spell check tells me it's not. In the enfleshment of God, the incarnation, as we say, it's this impossible truth. If that's a thing, if impossible truths can be things, then it's the impossible truth that Jesus is 100% human and 100% divine, because that's really not how math works for us. That's just too much percent. Advent is about the mystery that God chose to draw so near that he became like us in order that we might be more like God. I mean, if we miss the mystery part of Advent, then and we just tell this story about an unlikely birth 2,000 years ago, then we're missing out on the fullness of Advent, on the fullness of Christ the Messiah and what God is up to in all this. So Advent is about history, and it's about mystery, and Advent is about the majesty of Jesus. The promise that he will return, that he will in a full way rule this world, that the inbreaking of the kingdom will actually be over because the kingdom will have broken in fully, that Christ's reign will be full and leave no room for sin to creep in and squeeze our hearts to be selfish and unable or unwilling to love our neighbors fully. So during Advent, we actually sing more robustly the holy, holy, holy at the table, because we are really speaking boldly and we are imagining this chorus of multitudes of people and angels and beings gathered around the throne singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." This is the season where we look to that and we look back at a birth. Dr. Jacobson's professor, who taught him decades ago that Advent is about the history, mystery, and majesty of the Son of God, well, that professor taught him, and then he in turn has taught many as a professor, including me this week, and now I just said it out loud to you, and maybe you will teach others in return. And so it is with the faith of passing it on generation to generation. This morning during Sunday school, Dr. Catherine Shaner taught us about some patterns and threads in the Gospel of Luke, the things that stitch Luke's gospel together. And if Dr. Driggers is right, that Advent is about diligent readiness, that the waiting doesn't feel like waiting, and it doesn't feel relaxed, just waiting for something to happen. It's being so in love with Jesus right here, right now, that we draw nearer and nearer to him, following his example and doing his will. Then how will we know what his example and his will are? Well, this year we will read the Gospel of Luke, and we will watch. That leads us to Dr. Shaner's lesson about Jesus' life and ministry and the witness in Luke's particular gospel. How shall we be diligently ready? We will hear Luke say that we are to be persistently drawn to those in the margins, to know them and love them and help and serve and speak up for them when they can't, and then also recognize when we are the ones in the margins. To believe that forgiveness and healing are the same thing. As we watch and listen, as Jesus tells people to get up and walk, because your sins are forgiven. We will do this by bringing healing to each other and honoring each other and bringing healing to the nations and collectively asking ourselves in this Gospel of Luke, who is Jesus? And what is he calling us to? And who among us in our world needs to hear about God's grace through forgiveness and healing? In the piece of Luke that we get today, which is so interesting to be beginning the Gospel of Luke, but we got chapter 21 today, Jesus says to his disciples, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the seas and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And now when these things begin to take place, When the world is worried and cowering, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. When things get crazy and the world is afraid and you finally see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory, do not be afraid. Don't cower and worry or join in the frenzy of fear and the distressed and confused nations, as he says. Nope, stand up and raise your head. Because the one who reigns in love and righteousness is drawing near. Because the one who has dominion over your sin is drawing near. Stand up and raise your head. Look at the fullness of God's love and mercy coming with power and great glory. And like we sang in the psalm today, say to your Redeemer, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Or don't say a thing. Maybe you'll stand up and you'll raise your head knowing you are just a person, just mortal flesh, and you will keep silent. No words from your professors. No history or mystery or majesty. No diligent readiness on your tongue. No rich understanding of the gospel according to St. Luke. No language of now and not yet. I don't know how it will be. And it isn't actually ours to know. It is ours, though, to increase our love for each other, to abound in love for our neighbors, to love Jesus so much right here and right now that our waiting does not feel like waiting. Because we're too busy. Because while we are here and in the in-between times, knowing that our Savior has come and will come again, in these times we have work to do. And in this year, St. Luke will show us the way, pointing to Christ, pointing to healing and forgiveness, and a cross, and an empty tomb, and the declaration of resurrection. Welcome to Advent. Amen.